The expressed views of the guests on this podcast are theirs alone and not necessarily endorsed by the host, TWBC, or any associated sponsor. Conversations that are robust yet balanced, on point and to the point. You're listening to The Talk of Tournament Water Ski. This is the TWBC podcast. And now, here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all, and welcome to this latest edition of the TWBC podcast. I'm Tony Lightfoot, and thanking you for your support once again in listening to this latest edition, which is going to feature a skier that's really seen his stock rise in the last couple of seasons. He comes to us from Sweden, and his name is Tim Tornqvist. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing very good, Tony. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for having me.
Not a problem at all. So, what I've done with the current theme that I'm currently running with, so far as this podcast is concerned, at this late juncture in the year, is to basically get an assessment from each skier, tournament by tournament. You know, so I mean, before we start the tournaments, how was your off-season training coming into this year?
No, that was very good. I think I had my shortest winter break ever this winter. I only took 2.5 months off, where I spent the time in Sweden, going to the gym, playing a little bit of soccer, just working out and keeping my brain off skiing. And then I got back to Florida in January and been skiing ever since. So yeah, good spring training with my coach Franz Oberleitner, and I really enjoyed it, both in slalom and in jump, so that was good.
So what kind of work do you do in the off-season to keep your head above water prior to the ski season?
So, yeah, as I said, I just try to mentally not think about water skiing so much, because, you know, it's winter time in Sweden, we see the snow, I play ice hockey, I do all these fun things with my friends and just... yeah, hang out, play a little bit of golf simulator. I really enjoy that too. So
okay, that's cool. So so you're up for a little bit of top golf later?
Yeah, I would be down for some top golf. You're not gonna hit it further than me, Tony.
Oh, you never know. You never know what I could do with that big daddy club. Anyway, going on to more serious stuff. First tournament of the year. What one was that?
Yeah, first pro tournament was the Swiss Pro. I skied a couple of ranking list tournaments before that, where I did okay in slalom. In jump, I had a few crashes, so my body was like healing a little bit still in the late spring, but for slalom was good. I had a decent season opener at Swiss, where I ran 39, didn't really get the boost that I wanted at 41, so I didn't make the finals. Then I went up to Ski Lake 38, where I made the finals, unfortunately finished 7th in the final, not really what I wanted.
Okay.
Or 8th. No, I didn't really perform in that final, but I was happy with my 2 at 41 in the prelims to make it through, and yeah, have a chance in the final, that's what it's all about. And yeah, as I said, slalom was pretty good. Then after Lake 38, we all went to, well, some people went over to Europe. I decided to ski LA Night Jam.
Did you get to ski in the Masters qualifiers? Or
I was not qualified this year to ski the qualifier.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I had my 2.75 average and needed 3, but I think this year with my 4.5 average, I should be pretty good.
Should be good for next season. We certainly look forward to that. So yeah, so you mentioned LA Night Jam. You mentioned that that you have a jumping capability out there. Most people know you for being
slalomer.
Yeah, but I mean, how important is that for you to be able to maintain that capability and be able to perform at that kind of level?
Oh, it's very important. I think it's I practice both events like the same amount, maybe even more jump, to be honest, because I find slalom mentally a little bit easier. For jump, it takes a little bit more effort. I have a harder time to really figure it out and understand it, but yeah, I really enjoy it. There's nothing really that beats booting like a 215. That's my PB, you know, that feeling yeah. Never gets old, so yeah.
Okay, so to that point, let's talk about LA Night Jam, because you participated in both events there, yep. Didn't you?
Yeah, I did slalom, the amateur slalom event, and I did a pro man jump, and I was really looking forward to ski my first pro jump event and had really high expectations. I was skiing really, really good in practice, you know, going far every set. We get to Friday night, we had night jump practice, and yeah. I was one of the few that actually went over the ramp, and I think I hit a pretty good jump, so I was really excited.
So the optimism was there going into the actual Saturday portion of the tournament.
Yeah, Saturday, you know, full of energy, excitement, and unfortunately, I had a 63-meter one on the first one that I couldn't ride away because of a bad landing.
Ouch.
And then the second jump, a big out the front.
Yeah, I just remember that now.
Yeah, so second jump was a big out the front, and I kind of got a little hurt, you know. That was what kept me away from jumping this summer, and yeah, that's kind of a bummer, you know. I haven't been back on my jump skis much since then, and but I skied the second round, you know, still sore and still stiff, but I wasn't able to make the jump finals, which I'm still kind of bummed about. I really wanted to go in the night again. That was such a cool thing. I mean, if you're a jumper, you really need to try that. That was fun.
Jumping at night, certainly.
Yeah.
All right, then. So we move in from the United States with LA Night Jam. We move on to Europe.
Yeah, Europe I did. This year was a little bit different for me. Last year I did a few tournaments in Europe. This year, since I decided to do Night Jam, I missed out on, I think it was
the Monaco
one. Yeah, I missed out on the Monaco one, which was a bummer because I made finals last year. And so I missed out on that one. Then I flew straight to Morocco, did the one in Morocco, and they always take so good care of us. I mean, I loved skiing on that river, even though the conditions were kind of...
Yeah, everyone that has mentioned Morocco in their podcast episode is always, before they go into the actual performance, they go into the actual atmosphere for the event and the vibe and everything, yeah. You know, and you're no exception, it sounds like.
No, that was a lot of fun, and I really loved being there, thanks to Camille and Hisham for taking good care of us. And yeah, as you said, the performance wise, well, you need to perform with the course and how it is. Now we skied on a river, so you didn't expect getting a PB, but you wanted to be up there, you wanted to compete, and
kind of like managing expectations.
Exactly. And I did what I could. I was really close. I mean, I got ninth, which kind of sucked a little bit, you know. Yeah. Being ninth just outside the final, and yeah, but I was happy with how I skied. I think I had the worst 38 ever that I still ran after
I remember that too. Yeah, I think everyone did. Yeah, like, yeah. How the heck did he get
exactly
get through the prize?
Yeah, that one was not pretty at all, but somehow, you know, kept on skiing, and I mean that kind of shows, I think, what kind of skier I am. I don't quit. I keep on going even though it doesn't look that good, you know. Mm-hmm. Growing up on a river, you can't always teach, you know, well, practice technique. You gotta just go out there and turn buoys.
So comparing this Burageg river to your training on a river in Sweden, what was the current, any were there any similarities with current and what have you, and how much the water empties out from your space?
I want to say yes, but I can't compare these two. The one in Morocco was so way worse.
Yeah, because, I mean, about less than 3 kilometers away, there was the ocean.
Exactly. No. So the current was way worse in Morocco. And at home, my river, the current is not that bad. We have a little bit of current, but it's not that bad. It doesn't change like meters like it did in Morocco. We are way more sensitive to wind, so it can get really tricky with the wind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you ended up in ninth on the river in Rabat. Did you get to do much shopping or anything?
Yeah.
While you were there?
Yeah, we went to the market. That was a lot of fun just to see everything. It's a different culture, and you know, trying to argue with the price with them.
Get to ride the tram, yeah, for like 60 cents, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean that's a bargain, isn't it, really?
Yeah, no, that was basically for free.
indeed. Okay, so after Morocco, the next one was gonna be...
Yeah, then I didn't do any more pro tournaments in Europe. I did that one in Morocco, and I decided to go back home to Sweden. I skied one slalom tournament, and then I was preparing for Europeans and Worlds. I really, my big goal was Worlds this year. I really wanted to perform, so I took like a month and a half just to be home, just to practice, just to get dialed for the Worlds.
I bet there were a few of your competitors that you kind of wondering, were trying to figure out what you're kind of doing strategy wise, you know, yeah. Missing out on a bunch of events, you know, like Botas and yep. San Gervasio and all of those, you know, that you didn't make it to. But
No, that was part of the plan. I wanted to be back home and just practice, just to get ready for Worlds. I knew it was going to be in Europe, so I knew I could practice in Sweden until Worlds. And yeah, I mean, I'm still happy with that decision and just like taking time to practice and trying to prepare the best I can.
So kind of give the listeners a little bit of a sense of what it is to ski in Sweden, you know, because I mean, so far as the costing of everything that goes into participating in a sport of this kind in Sweden, you know, it's probably quite shocking to a lot of people.
Yeah, it's not at all similar to like it is over here. I mean, some people, I think most people think it's super, super cold. I mean, it is, it's not warm and nice during the summer, even though we get like 3 weeks of where it can be in the 80s. So, but
a
the
three
most,
week summer.
Yeah, a 3 week summer. We have like a month of summer. So the most tricky part for us is the, like, because we have to like, you have to ski just as much as you do over here, but you can't just go down to the lake and expecting it to be flat, nice and good driver and everything. So you have to like plan out your whole week. I mean, there could be a week where I only ski 2 days, and then there could be a week where I can ski all 7 days. So it's all very weather dependent, and also depending on drivers and wind. And I'm very lucky to have like multiple tournament drivers in my club. My brother and another guy called Bjorn, they both like international drivers, and mm-hmm. Bjorn actually drove the pro tour in Skarnes Siap in Norway when we were there, so he's really good, and they helped me a lot with practice. So but yeah, it's very different. You can't plan your week like, oh, I want to ski two sets on Monday, then two sets on Tuesday, then take Wednesday off, and then ski two sets on Thursday.
Okay, so then after that extended period of training, you return back to the scene at the European Open Championships in Salmsee in Linz, yep. Austria. So kind of give us an overview of how that went for you.
That was, I think, well, I skied prelims. I got my 4 at 41 that then got taken down because of the short path. So I had a one protected, so I ended up only getting one at 41. That kind of sucked, to be honest, because that was a really big score for me, and I was really happy with having my four as a good backup in the finals, because it had happened to me 2 years ago that I missed out on the medal because my backup was not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
So ended up being second last off the dock in the final with Tigas after me. But yeah, in the final, I just couldn't get the feeling. Like, I was off balance and could not run my 39 behind that tricky bolt down in Austria.
Yeah, you weren't the only one. The only one that was feeling a little bit off key with that competition.
Yeah, I think we all felt a little off. And yeah, it's hard when you... I mean, we all get a little nervous and you're excited to ski a tournament, and then you fall back and you rely on like old habits, and my old habits, they did not work behind that boat. You needed to go out and you needed to fire on all cylinders.
Right from the get-go.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, did you jump in this one or no?
Yeah, I jumped over 60 meters in both rounds, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Okay, so that was a good takeaway from this competition. So now the long run in towards the World Championships, you know, there was about however many week break, I think about a two weekend break, and then it was World Championships.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it was 2 weekends in between Europeans and Worlds, and actually in the meantime there we had Swedish Nationals, which was kind of fun on a side note. But
let's tell us what you did in the Swedish Nationals, because I think it was your best score of the season, wasn't it?
No, that was not a Nationals. My best score of the season was at this slalom tournament in Karlstad. In Sweden, where okay. I got 5 at 41.
Okay, and that was a little bit later on, but yeah. Regalus on the Swedish Nationals.
Yeah, no, Swedish Nationals was a lot of fun. Me and, you know, Jacob Bone, we had a run off for the gold medal in slalom.
Oh,
he actually
nice.
Beat me. Yeah, he got me on that one. That was fun to see him doing his comeback year, and I mean, I'm sure we're going to see more of him next year on the Pro Tour, so yeah.
Good. Maybe we'll see him somewhere like Morocco or some of the other places that unfortunately you kind of missed out on because you were singly focused on the title event. So, World Championships,
the big one.
Yeah,
that's the big one. As I said, I came down very prepared. I was feeling good. I was confident on my slalom ski. I came down like expecting the cut to be around 3-2-2, maybe being a runoff. Ended up being 2 was not even enough, and 2.5 was not enough either.
No, even 2.25.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I skied prelims. I think I was last off the dock in series 2. So when I skied, I didn't know the cut for sure. I could figure out it was going to be 3. I skied, I felt really good in that set. I skied 32, 35, 38, 39, really nice. Had a little bubble on 39, but other than that, it felt good. Came into my 41, and for some reason, I came in hot into one ball. My tip dug a little bit around 1, and I couldn't hold on, so dropped the handle around 2 ball and ended up being 1.5 buoy.
Oh, yikes. And just about 1.5 buoy shy of actually being part of that 9 or nine skiers. I mean, it didn't go into a runoff at that time of the tournament, you know, but 9 skiers with 3 and 3 with 4, you know. So I mean, it was a pretty tough draw.
Yeah, it was very tough, and it was fun to see all the skiers in series 1 go out and just do 3 at 41. I mean, that impressed me, and I learned a lot. I need to practice getting to 3 ball all the time, because when I go out and
be like Thomas,
because when I go out there, I try to run the pass all the time.
Indeed, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things, you know, where if you moderate slightly, you could probably make more finals, but you're a kind of go-getter.
Exactly.
You want to get after it.
And I think that's why you see me having like a 5:41 PV. You know, I go out there, I go for it all the time. I try not to lay up, but sometimes I think you have to play the smart game, and that's definitely one thing I'm going to take into the next season and really learn this off-season to not take it easy, but to try and get to 3 ball all the time.
All right, then. So after that, you probably took a little bit of a time out, a little bit of rest, and then you're here at Jax.
I'm here at Jax, yeah. I've been in Florida now for 2 weeks. I flew over for Mastercraft Pro, and now
Jax. Tell us how you did there.
I think I did pretty good. I mean, I was happy. I only had a week of training in warm water after Worlds, like where I really prepared, and because I took that week after Worlds completely off. I did not ski at all. I was just like at home enjoying life, and 1 week of practice before Mastercraft, and I got 1.5 at 41, which was not enough, but I felt good. My skiing feels good now. I'm very excited to ski behind the new ski nautic and see how that's gonna feel, because I haven't had a chance to practice behind it much, so I'm happy to be here today and have a practice set and see how it feels.
Okay, aside from trying to ski smarter and be able to qualify for more in the finals, as we previously alluded to, what's your off season going to be looking like?
My off season is gonna be, now I'm gonna be here in Florida until middle of November, so I'm gonna be down at the Cove in Tampa, Sefner, and practice and just get like try to, as I said, get better, get more looks at 41 to see how deep I can go. I'm not skiing more tournaments. I'm gonna be fine tuning that D3 ski of mine a little bit and just set up the Cove for the spring.
So you're on the Neo, aren't you?
I'm on the Ion.
Or you're on the Ion 3.
Ion 3.
Okay, and the Cove, just to be sure on that one, that was the old site for McCormick's,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Yeah. The Cove, now it's now rebranded as the Cove. It used to be old McCormick site, and yeah, they are, it's a lot of fun to be down there, and they are such a great people. I mean, now we are working on getting the ski lake back and up and running, so that's going to be in up and running in the spring. Right now the cable park is up and running, and it's sold out every weekend. I'll tell that it's fantastic.
Sounds good. That site that has been around for years and is falling on hard times, and now seems to have a little bit of an uptick going,
exactly,
for them.
Exactly. So look out for that, and I'm sure we're gonna see, if not a pro tournament, we're gonna see tournaments there next year.
All right, then, before we wrap up this podcast, anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, not really. I mean, I would like to thank, like, the people supporting me, my sponsors. We already talked about D3. We talked about the Cove, and also supporting Masterline. They're supporting me a lot. So Masterline and Eagle, they're helping me out. I'm really happy with that. And just say thank you to them, and thank you to my family, especially the people at home. Like, I know, yeah, I want to be with them right now, but... Yeah. Hi.
All right, then. That concludes this TWBC podcast episode with Tim Tornquist. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.